Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's robnunphoto.com. SEL is proud to be sponsored by GoToMeeting from Citrix and is a member of the Tech Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at techpodcasts.com. Now, on with the show. Hi everybody and welcome to SCL, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com and this is my little audio diary about my journey through the wonderful world of photography. But it's 18th of March 2012, it's Mother's Day here in the UK, so everybody's doing all the chores for their wives today and making sure they're not going out and taking lots of photographs instead, because that just wouldn't be fair, would it, on this particular day, even if the weather's really, really good. Save it for another day. That's sort of the best option, isn't it? I think Suzanne's just over there and she's just looking at me incredulously because she was very kind to let me go out for a quick photo walk this morning after we'd been to the car boot, which is a bit of a rubbish one. Hardly anybody was there because it'd been raining a lot yesterday. So managed to go out for a quick photo walk. I'll be uploading the photos to the Flickr photo stream, probably putting some in the group pool as well as over the next few days. But it was a beautiful day. It's starting to rain now. Maybe we'll see a little bit of sunshine a little bit later on. But we're going to have a lovely roast dinner in a bit. So I thought I'd record the podcast a little bit early. As ever, I'm doing the audio podcast. You might be listening to it on your iPod or iPad or listening to it on a computer or an Android device. And I'm also doing the video podcast, which is available over on YouTube. And again, if you go to robnunphoto.com, scroll down a little bit, you'll see the various video podcasts. Now, what we're going to be doing today is talking a little bit about a new phone I got, and then doing the photo review for last month's photo assignment, which was winter, where I live. So I'll be going through the photos, talking about them. And this might be one podcast where, if you haven't had a look at the video feed over on YouTube, might be worth having a look, because I've contacted everybody who took part and they've given permission for me to put their photos on the video as well. So as best as I can, I'll be putting the photos into the video stream. Otherwise, I'll put a link in the show notes just to go over to the Flickr group for robnunphoto.com, and you can click on the thread for the photo assignment, and then you can have a look at the photos yourself as well. So, after 2 years of using the HTC Desire, which I know I've talked about quite a lot on the podcast and on the blog, my contract was up for renewal, and I was with T-Mobile in the UK, and I might even do a post about this. I tried to contact them 3 times saying, look, my contract's up for renewal, I want a new phone, I want this phone, and I can get it for free on these networks, but you're charging £180 for it. Can you do me a deal or anything like that? And 3 times through talking to them on like an online chat thing, talking to them in person, and then talking to them on Twitter as well, they said, sorry, we don't do price matching. That's it. So I had a look around, and the phone I really wanted was a phone called the HTC, which one is it? The Expression, I think. Sensation XE, that was the one. Which is a nice phone, comes with some nice headphones, more memory, that sort of thing, a little bit faster. But doing a bit of research, as you do when you look for new phones, I discovered you with O2 and going through a separate website, I've managed to get the Google Nexus Galaxy, well, the Samsung Galaxy Nexus, which is the brand new Android smartphone, on O2 for free on a 2-year contract for, I think it's £21 a month. Now, here it is. Now, it's running, what's the latest one? Ice Cream Sandwich, which is the latest version of Android. It's absolutely massive. I could we went to Fareham yesterday. We popped into one of the mobile phone shops, the three shops, because Oliver's thinking about getting a new phone as well. And I compared this particular model to a few of the other Android phones. And it's the same size as a Sensation XL, which is the biggest one I've ever seen before. So it really is a massive screen. And at first I was a little bit, you know, unsure about whether the big screen, the big phone, I mean, it's nice and light and nice and thin, would be for me. But I tell you what, you don't have to grow and fall in love with the screen and the extra real estate of having all this space. You know, the web looks great. It's easier to type. And first impressions are, yeah, really nice, really good phone. It's got the latest Google stuff on there. It's got loads of memory for apps. It's got, this, as I say, it's got this beautiful screen. And I'm looking forward to using it over the next the next 2 years. But also look out for, on the site, plenty of comparison videos between this and HTC Desire. Then look at some of the separate features on it. So yeah, Google Nexus. The Samsung Galaxy Nexus. Bit of a mouthful, but name, isn't it? But it looks like a great phone, and that screen, yeah, big screen, great colour, really, really fantastic. Now, before we talk about all the photographs from the photo assignment, I'll do the GoToMeeting ad for our sponsor. So, GoToMeeting, they provide, I guess you'd call it teleconferencing software over the internet, because being able to attach your face to a name is really important. It enhances our relationships and the way we do business. But unfortunately, meeting all your clients and colleagues in person can be impossible. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It lets you meet face-to-face from anywhere in the world. So, how does it work? Well, with GoToMeeting by Citrix, it just takes a webcam and a click to collaborate in group HD video. You can see your attendees, your colleagues, your potential customers eye-to-eye while collaborating on documents in real time. You'll feel instantly connected, even if you're thousands of miles apart. So you can be working on a presentation, a spreadsheet, a document for an agenda for a separate meeting. It could be a group of your peers working together for a project that you're going to be presenting to somebody else as well. And GoToMeeting is really easy to set up and simple to use. We use GoToMeeting a demo of it before we agreed to have it as a sponsor for SCL and tech podcasts in general. It really is amazing to be able to talk to lots of different people, but not only see what's on their computers, but also see them face-to-face as well. Definitely brings any meetings alive. So you could start hosting your own face-to-face online meetings today with GoToMeeting, and everybody can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code podcast. And make sure you use that promo code podcast. Thanks to GoToMeeting for sponsoring the SCL Photography Podcast. Right, so last month's photo assignment, which kind of ran from January to February, was winter where I live. And the idea was just to go out with your camera, with your phone even, and just take a picture or a series of pictures that spoke to you about winter where you live. And if you haven't taken part in any of these assignments before, all you've got to do is join Flickr, it's free, and find the RobnonPhoto.com group, and there's links over on RobnonPhoto.com to get there. And the idea is that sometimes when we're doing our hobby of photography, we can run out of ideas of things to shoot and get a little bit stale. You might get stuck in a rut always taking photographs of the same thing. But by having a go at an assignment, it just puts an idea into your head and kind of forces you to go out and think about it. It might even be something you thought, oh, I haven't got a clue about this, but I'm going to think about it and try and produce some photographs. And gets you out of your comfort zone. And gets you into a situation where you might try different things, and in different environments, different subjects, different compositions, all this sort of stuff. So it's good stuff. Now, they're never competitions the way we do them over on RobnonPhoto.com. It's purely all about taking part and getting out there, and looking at other people's images to see the ideas they come up with. So as I go through these photographs, basically I'm just having a look at them, picking out some relevant things that I enjoy about the photograph, some salient points if you like, learn from looking at them as well. So, you know, one of my big beliefs is if you want to become a better photographer, the things you do are you take lots of photographs and you look at lots of photographs. And when you're looking at other people's photographs as well, look at the bits you think, what do you enjoy? What do you like about that particular photograph? And then you, by continually doing that, gradually, all this kind of feeds into your subconscious. And when you're going out there shooting, you do think about it as well, and you think, well, I'm going to do that. But it also kind of makes the automatic way of taking photographs a lot more smoother as well. So let's dive straight in with some images by his Flickr name is Photos by Danny B, and it's Daniel Brock, and he says he went out to shoot the yet incomplete Canadian Human Rights Museum in -38°F. No, 1 degree Celsius. Gosh, that is cold. That is absolutely freezing. Tell you what, in the UK, that cold, everything would stop. Nobody would go out at all. No sun could be seen due to the cloudy winter sky. The picture shows a young mother pushing her baby in a stroller across the bridge and someone in the distance entering the restaurant in the middle of the bridge. Winter in Winnipeg. Wow. And so what we've got here is we've got a picture of... What I really like about this is a picture of across this bridge, as the bridge is going away from us, with handrails down the sides, and then the support cables from the bridge as well are shooting away from us, and they're all conjoining in the middle. So we've got fantastic leading lines that are guiding your eye towards this central spire that sticks up. The colour's really interesting as well. We've got a really vivid, well, kind of blue look to the sky and everything. And then over on the right we can see there's various structures as well, where obviously they're building this museum. So yeah, really nice photograph. That I like the way, especially that I love leading lines. And it, one of the things that could have happened was he could have moved over and like made it symmetrical, but to have it off balance, to have it asymmetrical, makes the photograph even more interesting. And then he's got a photograph. And one from earlier in the day facing the other way. And what we're doing here is we're looking down a street. And what I like about this is, and you get this, don't you, in new towns and cities like in Canada and America and all over the world, where you do have these really long, straight streets, where in the UK and most of Europe too, because the towns and villages have been there for so long, everything's, you know, turning and on angles, because obviously the towns have grown up in a very organic way, from small things to bigger things. And so it's only in new towns like new cities like Milton Keynes where it's long straight roads. And we're following somebody here in a blue anorak as they're walking away through the snow down that particular street. So that's good. And then he's got a night shot of the same location. Now this is a shot of the bridge from a different angle, not on the bridge, but from a side. And we can see these supporting cables, that are going up to this central spire structure that obviously it's a suspension bridge that hold everything up. And we can see the ice in the water below, and there's some nice reflections of the light. Nice photo. Next up, we've got Rod Payne F, and that's his Flickr handle. And his name is... It's Rodney Payne, and he goes, say, we're having abnormal weather this winter. Typically, we get snow, and it stays. This year, we've had very little snow, and we've had above freezing days on a regular basis, so it's been kind of mucky this year. Here's a photo from 2 years ago that looks more typical of winter on Prince Edward Island. And we've got, what I like about this photo is, it's almost like a picture postcard. You've got like a wooden-type chalet house on the right-hand side, we've got a car, and then we've got this pristine snow. And whenever you're taking shots of snow, I think it's really nice just to get it, to capture it, before you get lots of people walking across it and putting footprints all over it. And the other good thing I like about this photo as well is, on my computer anyway, the white balance looks very good, and the exposure looks very good, the snow looks pretty white, and one of the traps we can fall into when we're taking photographs of snow, excuse me, just taking a drink, is it's very easy to get the colour cast into the snow, or get it looking a little bit grey. And of course, to counterbalance, because what's happening is your camera is seeing the snow as very, very white, saying the scene is too bright, and then dimming everything down. But by going into exposure compensation on our camera, or if you're using a compact going into the snow setting or the beach setting, that will then lift the photograph and give you a nice white crisp snow. We've got Danny B, who's got another great shot here, and it's, even though this was taken in early January before the assignment was announced, this is a Canadian winter. We've got a little child zooming through the snow on a little sled, and it's a real catching the moment type photograph. You've got a real sense of speed, and the snow's all puffed up, and there's like a trail of snow behind. Great fun, looks really good. And then Danny's also done a couple of really nice, almost macro shots of bare trees. So what he says is, hoarfrost on the bare trees are part of the beauty of winter. And this kind of shows you that sometimes in the winter, when we're faced with these beautiful landscapes, sometimes we need to take, well, we can take, you know, 5 minutes and go for the details as well. You know, I've talked in the past about when you see a scene, start wide, capture like the whole story, capture the whole thing. Think about different angles, think about different heights, but then kind of get in close and pick out different elements within the scene. You know, if you were doing, say, for example, a landscape shot of, and there were some trees, like Danny's done here, start with a nice wide shot with the landscape, then get in close, get right up to these things, and what Danny's picking out is the frost on the branches and the twigs of these particular trees. Very pretty as well, and they're all always give you lots of opportunities for playing around with composition, playing around with, playing around with depth of field, as that way as well. Flickr handle Analogital is up next, who's Pete, and Pete's got a nice black and white picture, and he says, a clear, bright and very cold day in Northamptonshire, so we're back in the UK, and what we've got here is a black and white shot, a landscape. In the foreground we've got a large tree, and the sun is peeping through the part of the branches of the tree, and so what that has done is, because the tree's backlit, the tree has become a silhouette, but the landscape in the background we can still see the details in. So it's a very moody shot, and again the black and white kind of adds to this mood of a very cold day with the sun just rising. You know, you can almost feel yourself pulling your coat a little bit closer, or pulling your hat down a little bit further, because it's going to be it's going to be one of those really, really cold mornings. So, great shot there. Nice use of black and white, and nice use of a vignette as well to kind of focus the eyes on the middle of the photograph. And again, what Pete's done here is not fallen into the trap of having the sun dead centre of the image, which we can do, and sometimes that can look great, but have it slightly off centre, you know, moving towards the rule of thirds or the golden mean, and giving the photo that kind of balance, which means that your eye kind of follows round the photograph, following the branches in there. Next up, we've got James Marshall, who's, it could be a mono picture. I'm not sure if this is black and white or not. It could be because it was just taken on a day when there was very little colour in the scene at all. And I think what we've got is we're looking straight up at the bottom of a streetlight. I could be wrong, but that's what it looks like. And then the streetlight itself is either attached to or in front of a power or a telephone cable kind of pole. So imagine you're standing underneath a streetlight or a power cable pole, and you're looking straight up, and we can actually see, the detail is amazing, we can see the bulb, and then as you look even closer, you can see the landscape as well. It's like a fisheye lens. We can see there's a fence. I might even be able to see James there off to one side. And then we've also got, you can see that there's snow and there's fences going off in the distance, and it looks like some trees. This is a really intriguing shot, because at first glance you think, oh, well, that's interesting. Because James has chosen to have the lamp not going straight up on the photograph, but coming in at 45 degrees, sort of bisecting the photograph. And you think, well, that looks interesting anyway, because you can see the detail. But then you move closer and you look in and you suddenly can see all these extra scenes there. And it really kind of brings it to life. And there's nothing better than having a photograph that when you look at first, you think, oh, yeah, that's nice. And then you're getting closer and then you can see all this extra detail as well. So, yeah, great shot there, James. Really, really interesting. Sammy, as Antilla has put, this is not where I live, but this is where I go to school on some weekends. And this is, again, Sammy shows a really interesting sort of snow scene. We've got, I guess they're bushes in the foreground that are covered in snow, so they've changed into these kind of strange, almost like coral shapes. Then in the background, we've got, looks like some sort of large house, mansion, schoolhouse. And because of the angle that Sammy's chosen, we've got some diagonal lines, the diagonal lines of the roof of the house leading into away into the corner, and this small raised part that the bushes are on leads away as well. So it's kind of, excuse me, just take a quick drink of water. It's leading us towards the path, and you can even see, if you look closely, the footprints of people as they're going towards the house. So a really nice shot there as well, and we've got great detail in the sky. Really interesting photograph to look at. Well done, Sammy, for capturing that one. Flickr name ABVDB, who is Ab van der Breggen. Again, if I'm pronouncing people's names wrong, my apologies. And he's got some interesting shots here of various landscapes all the way around where he lives. We've got a nice black and white at the top, where we're looking at a train that's coming round. Again, a nice, I always like the use of lines through photographs, especially curves and diagonals. They just make your eye just follows them through the picture. Really, really good. Then underneath we've got another landscape here where we're looking through some branches, and with that use of depth of field where the branches are focused gives depth to the photograph and gives it gives it the third dimension. And then we've got some coloured bushes as well. So a nice sort of trio of images from Ab there. Well done. Now we've got G Neil 45, who's Neil Graham, who's chosen to do a nice shot early morning, it says. A nice black and white again. We've got lots of snow. We've got a nice vignette around the edges of the photograph that draw your eye in to this stark scene of trees without any leaves off. And again, it makes you think, oh, it's a cold morning. And we're drawn to the forms of the trees themselves. One of the beauties of shooting in the autumn, the early spring, and in the winter is the fact that you can kind of really see the silhouettes and forms of trees, and they don't tend to blur into each other like the way that they do when they have their full foliage later on in the year. So nice picture there as well. Now we've got some more shots from Rod here. Our first one is, let's have a look, of a Jeep covered in snow. Nice picture there. I like the middle one. This one, again, we've got a leading line. Looks like a telephone pole or something. Oh, actually, no, it might be a kid's swing like a death slide that's leading away through the photograph towards the tree. And we've got some great snow-covered trees. We haven't had snow like this this year in this part of the UK anyway. We had loads of snow last year, so I'm a bit disappointed I couldn't get out and do something like that. And then he's got another photograph, which is more of a close-up. I mean, probably use the telephoto lens here to get closer. And what we're looking at is the forms of several trees. Well, they're kind of all bunched together, so it's difficult to say, really. But we're not looking at the tree in their entirety, but looking at the top a bit. And as the snow is sitting on top of the branches, we can see the white of the snow and then the black of the branches underneath. And it's really almost an abstract type of pattern. Very, very good. Then underneath, we've got a twig detail or a branch detail with snow on it. And you can actually, if you look closer, you can make out the snow coming down. And we've got a good use of depth of field here because the background is all out of focus, but we can still see the foreground with the branch, with the twigs, with the snow on it. It gives you a feeling of the fact that these trees, this life, if you like, is covered in snow. It's dormant for the winter. Will be coming out fairly soon. One from me. This is a grab shot. I think I took this one from my phone, actually, when we were at Leon Solon. And we've had a lot of rain this winter, an awful lot of rain. And I just wanted to kind of show that. So I took the photograph through the car windscreen, and the car windscreen was covered in water droplets and it's a phone box of all things. And it's just kind of giving it a bit of a watery sort of will look. So there we go. Another one from Gneil45, who, let's have a look, is Neil Graham. And he's chosen, I think this is a little bridge going across, well, I'm not quite sure, because we've got these railings, but he's chosen to take it from a very low viewpoint. And you can always find, by changing your viewpoint, from not taking things from 5'10" in the air, but choosing to get down low or getting up high can make all sorts of things, look at things in a different way and make things more interesting that way. And we've got the nice rustiness of these posts with the snow on top of them. And as they're moving away from us in the diagonal, that looks good. Danny's got a really nice, I don't know if this is a sunset or a sunrise, very moody photograph. We've got like it looks like a plane, as in, not a plane with wings, but a plane as in the ground. We've got a building in the middle, some sort of shack or hut or warehouse, and then we've got the bright sun up in the sky. Nice simple photograph. One of the ways we can always improve our photographs is by concentrating on less, by removing things. Painters have the big advantage over photographs in that they start with a blank canvas and they add what they want in. Whereas photographers, we kind of have to work in reverse. You start off with the whole world and then you've got to choose bits from it. And often the less you choose, the more interesting and dynamic a photograph can be. Another one from me. This is when we went back down the allotment a couple of months ago to start ripping everything out and tidying it all up. And this is our wheelbarrow with a load of weeds in just before Suzanne and I then took it to the bins to check it in to get rid of it. And what I was doing, I was experimenting with using my phone to take photographs, but also to put funny borders around, because I'm very vanilla when it comes to my editing a lot of the time. I change things to black and white, maybe do a little bit of HDR, but everything is fairly plain, and I never really put borders on anything. But this is almost like an emulsion lift border. And just by trying these things out, by trying these different borders, just moving out of my comfort zone, really, to see whether I like doing it or not. And I like the analog look of these types of things, but you do it too often, and I kind of get a bit bored with it. Now we've got a series of photographs from Flickr name Big Pick, who's Sean Townsend. Again, we've got, looks like some anglers down by a river, lots of frost. Again, I like the fact that if you look at the photograph, we've got this diagonal line of the edge of the river going away through, almost from the bottom left-hand corner to the top right-hand corner, with the path going up the right-hand side of the photograph. We've got some berries, some bright red berries covered in snow and frost, nice use of colour. And often contrasts are another thing that make photographs interesting. If you can find some colour, if you can find shadow, if you can find light, put them together, that can make things more interesting, because visually, to people who enjoy colour and stuff, that obviously brings the photograph, but also for people who enjoy form as well, because we all see the world in slightly different ways, this can help as well. And don't be afraid of really working a subject and moving around. See where the light's coming from, to find the best angle to bring out the depth in the particular photo. Next up, we've got Ika Joe, who is Joe Alfano. And what he says is, I've been waiting all winter to get a great snow shot for this project. The problem is it's almost 50 degrees weather for the whole month of February. It's killed that idea. To post something, I dug into my vault and pulled this one out. Hope you enjoy it. And we've got a really nice kind of, almost could go on a Christmas card, this winter scene. We've got snow in the foreground, we've got trees, and we've got, there's a light, a torch in the distance that's lighting the way. Looks like Joe's done some post-processing on this to kind of soften things up. A real moody and atmospheric photograph. I like the way that we've got, again, the black silhouettes of the trees, but you've got the white of the snow, excuse me, on the top, and the warmth then coming from the torch. This is another example of where you might have a whole landscape in front of you, but by zooming in a little bit or by moving closer and choosing a segment of that landscape, you can make things more interesting. So, yeah, another great shot in the flippy room. And then the final photograph, we have Sammy. This makes me smile, this photo. Here we've got, I guess it's a donkey, could be a horse. I'm not an equine expert. Standing in the field, full of snow, nice blue sky in the background, nice shadows coming across. The sun's probably really low, because if you look at the shadows, they're going the horse's legs are going straight across. I like the way that Sunny's filled the frame with the horse. The horse has almost got like a bit of a grimace on its face, because it is so cold. But I guess he was probably expecting some carrots or some sugar cubes off Sammy as it's standing there. So there we go. That was photo assignment, Winter Where I Live. Some really good photographs from everybody. I'm so pleased when people have a go at these assignments. Because, as I say, it gives us an opportunity to try different things and get us out there. Now, remember that this month, the next month's photo assignment, is a little bit different. I've called it Recession. And it's more of almost like a photojournalist assignment, where I'm kind of saying, okay, imagine you're working at a local newspaper, and one of the writers is doing an article on the recession and how it's affecting where you live, near where you live. Go out and take some photographs for that particular article. So it could be anything from the way that the recession affects us badly, in terms of businesses closing down, homes up for sale, run down areas, or it could be the fact that your particular area is coming out of recession, and so they're building things, or there's new businesses opening up, that sort of stuff. Whatever comes into your mind, again, it's not a competition. Just go out there. When you're out for your regular photo walk, or maybe you're driving to work, or you're out with just your camera phone, just think, okay, right. Oh, right, I've seen that house is up for sale, or that warehouse is empty, or they're building those new houses or new businesses, and go and take a photograph of it and put it in the Flickr photo stream. Joe's already put a really good one in, where he says, here is my place of employment up to 2 weeks ago. And it's an example of where sometimes a photograph means a lot more if you put a good description with it. I kind of float between having no descriptions at all to describing things, to sometimes not even bother putting titles in my photographs. And it shows sometimes that you need more information, because what might look like a fairly boring and empty scene like this of this particular store, when you know the story behind it, then you know you can relate to it, and it adds emotion to everything. So another thing to think about that way. Okay, so that's it for this week. Thanks to everybody for downloading and listening to the podcast. Thanks to everybody for commenting on robinonphoto.com and taking part in the Flickr group and adding your photos to the poll over on the Flickr group as well. Thanks to Everyday Jones, who do the intro and outro music. You can find their stuff for free download at everydayjones.com. And hopefully, pretty soon, I'll see you on Flickr.